We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Jackie Zack. Jackie is a certified business coach with Action Coach, the world's number one coaching firm. In addition to being a business coach, she is also a business owner. She owns a gourmet specialty shop in Brookfield, Wisconsin. She understands the successes and challenges business owners face and wants to pay it forward by working with other business owners to reach their business and life goals. In addition, she holds a master's degree in project management and a BA in sociology from UW-Madison. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it only makes sense. I was on your podcast not too long ago, which was a ton of fun, and now it's your turn to be on mine.
I'm very excited.
So am I. So your background is quite diverse, and I appreciate that. And I didn't even know you had a background in sociology because I just have this weird passion for sociology. So that'll be a conversation over drinks one day.
Yeah, right.
But I'm going to start with some questions related to business in general, because obviously that's where your heart and your passion are right now. And one of the big challenges I see today is finding and retaining good employees. So how do you recommend our listeners try to solve this problem right now?
The very first step, I think, is to take a look at their own business. Are you a great place to work? Do you have a great culture? Do your employees want to recommend you as a place to work? So often business owners are looking outward to find good employees. And instead of looking inward to find out, are we a great place to work? So that would be, it's a different way to spin it and a different way to look at it. But I would start there. So take a look at your culture. Take a look at, why do people like working for you? How are you getting involved in the community? How are you making it a win-win-win to be an employee?
Oh, that's interesting. Win-win-win to be an employee. What does that mean?
So, example, great place to work, great job, fun to do, pay is good, but also a great community leader.
Okay.
So how are you making a difference in your community as well? So it's a win-win-win for all involved. It's a win for the business. It's a win for the community. And it's also a win for the employee.
Okay. So it's really,
and their families.
Yeah, looking inward, as you said, to make sure that it is an attractive place.
Yes.
To be and to stay.
Yes. Are your employees, the big thing to first of all to look at is, are you as the business owner having fun?
Yeah.
Because if you're not having fun, nobody's having fun. Right?
And I've been in those shoes.
Yes.
Not here, but definitely in past experience.
Yes. So if you're not having fun, nobody's having fun. Are your employees having fun? Do they love coming to work every day? That's the very first place to start. Mm-hmm. And if you're not having fun, then it's time to figure out why and how can we make it fun.
Yep.
Because we all have to work for a living. How do you make it fun? How do you make it not only fun, but how do you make it fun for everyone?
Yeah, absolutely. So. I'm thinking about that book called Fish. I forgot who the author was, but that's the Seattle Fish Market, right? Where they just turned this really boring job of dead fish into something extremely fun, so much so that a book was written about it. And I think there's a movie and people actually like line up to watch them work.
Right. It's a tourist attraction and all they're doing is throwing fish around. So the key there is how are you having fun in your business? Not only that, but are you getting your customers or your clients involved in the fun?
Yeah.
So how are you getting everybody involved so your clients also think of you as a great place to work?
Absolutely. Really good. So I can relate to this question I'm going to ask. As a business owner who is extremely overcommitted, working too many hours, how does one, or how do you recommend someone find time to grow their business?
So the first thing is to take a look at what you're doing. How are you spending your time? So we have a tendency as business owners, I think, to feel like we have to do everything, be involved with everything. And that was certainly the case for me. And with my business, I still own my business. And now I have a store manager who runs the business, but I had to actually get out so she could thrive. So it's trusting in the people that I have, empowering the people that you have employed with you. And also thinking about, you know, if you're turning over and delegating some things that are in someone else's wheelhouse, how much better would it be for you? So one of the things I found out is that I wanted to own the business. I didn't want to work in the business. Okay. And I found myself working in the business and I didn't like it and I wasn't that great at it.
Yeah.
But I found someone who's great at it,
okay,
who loves it. And so then I can work on the more strategic things,
sure,
and empower her to do what she's good at. Mm-hmm. And she loves it. So why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah.
The funny thing was I had to actually physically leave to let her thrive because I found myself micromanaging.
Sure.
And so she was like, get out. So I did.
Well, and you did it though,
yes,
which I think a lot of business owners struggle with. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you said that really connected with me, and I've been reading a lot about this, is the word trust and really trusting your,
yes,
team.
Mm-hmm.
I know Google just published some research recently about how that's the most important component with regards to teamwork,
mm-hmm,
is trust. And I know there's a lot of books. I think, what is it, The Five Dysfunctions of a team by Patrick Lencioni. And that's one of the things, like, you have to trust each other. You have to, because if you don't, you're not going to move the needle.
Right. And I would add trust, but verify.
Verify.
Plus, okay, trust, but verify.
So explain that.
So what I mean by that is trust people, but verify. So things like key performance indicators.
Okay.
And
so a feedback
like
loop.
That, some kind of a feedback, okay, look. So trust, but verify.
Ah, that's good.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So those are some things that I would do to make sure that, and it's really verifying their success.
Yes.
Not to punish anybody or anything like that, but it's to verify and notice success.
I like that.
So those are some of the tips I would say.
And celebrate the
Yeah, and
the
celebrate.
Victories.
That, you know, it's funny you should say that, because that probably is the one thing that most businesses don't do, mm-hmm, is celebrate their success. They have a success and then they move on to the next thing. They have a success and they go, yay.
Yep.
And then nothing. Mm-hmm. So get excited. Celebrate those successes. That's all part of having fun.
Yep.
So, you know, kind of going back to what I said earlier, have fun in your business and celebrate the successes, not only of the team, but of each other.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of dabbled into this conversation a little bit, but what was your biggest challenge when you were running your own business and how did you overcome it?
Well, one of the biggest challenges I had was letting go was one.
Yep.
I had some issues with cash flow. And actually, I am I was a client of Action Coach. So I got a coach.
Yep.
And that's how I found out,
sure,
about Action,
yep,
Coach. And so what my coach did was made me do cash flow forecast, mm-hmm, made me track my numbers, made me be a little bit more disciplined about running my business.
That's hard, isn't it?
It is very hard.
You go into business to do your own thing.
Yes. And especially for someone like me, because if I could, I would be at a party all the time. And I would be having fun all the time.
You and I are both social butterflies. This,
yes,
is why we get along so,
exactly,
well.
Exactly, right? And so to have a little discipline and focus was what I needed.
Uh-huh.
And have somebody hold me accountable. That was probably the biggest thing for me.
Nice.
Yes. And so that was, and actually saying those words out loud,
mm-hmm,
admitting to myself, you know what, that's where I need some help.
Yep. Yeah, which is hard to do.
It is very hard to do.
Because most business entrepreneur individuals are very type A. I could do it all myself,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you're in a tough position helping being a business coach, and I imagine.
Yes. Well, that's part of my job is to hold people accountable. And that is, I'm not a parent, but I would imagine it's a little bit like being a parent, right? That you hold people accountable and celebrate their success and help them grow and figure out, yeah, I can do way more than I ever thought I could.
Sure.
But it's hard to have those conversations, and it's hard to hear those conversations.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, and you can relate directly to them,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, exactly. It was painful, let me tell you. And every week he kept saying, you know, do you have your numbers done? Do you have your numbers done? No. And so finally I had to do it because I don't remember what the consequence we imposed together was, but I, whatever it was, it made me do it.
Uh-huh.
And so,
well,
now we do it all the time, right? So,
or you just don't want to remember what it was.
Right.
I'm sure you know what it is.
Painful, right?
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to move the conversation to networking here.
Mm-hmm.
To some, networking is a very scary word. Mm-hmm. And my goal with this podcast is to alleviate that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to do that if you could be so kind and share with our listeners your favorite or most successful networking experience that you've had.
Well, probably it's my favorite now. It wasn't at the time,
okay.
But when I first started my business 10 years ago, I'd never done any networking. I was always in positions where I didn't have to do that. So my very first networking event was a multi-chamber event with 400 people.
Ooh,
and
fun.
I had no idea what to do. And I walked in and there were all these people. And it was just really funny because I thought to myself, oh my God, what have I done? But I kind of, what I did was I talked myself into just going up and starting to talk to people.
Sure.
Even though I like to talk and I'm friendly and things like that, going up and talking to strangers, I hesitate. I'm a lot better now, but at the time I was sort of hesitant.
Uh-huh.
So I just decided I'm just going to walk up and start talking and be curious about what people were doing.
Sure.
So now fast forward 10 years later, every time I see the people from the chamber from my very first time, I remember your very first, and that was 10 years ago, very first networking event and how scared you were and
aww,
you didn't know anybody. So it's always, every time I go back to that event,
uh-huh,
it's always very fun for me because I remember where I started and now I look around and I go, I know tons of people here and I've made such good friendships. So for me, that's probably my favorite story.
Well, and what I like about that is that it was 10 years ago that you started doing this,
yes,
and you still have these relationships.
Yes.
And a lot of these relationships have moved into friendships, as you
mm-hmm.
just said.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine some of these relationships have converted into business opportunities, or
yes,
you obtained referrals from some of these as well.
Yes. So it's very much worth it. And the fun for me is the friendship side.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I met you. I met you about 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago.
I don't even remember.
I met you at a South Suburban Chamber
was
event.
Was that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
okay,
somebody suggested I meet you.
Of course.
So.
Unfortunately, I get that a lot and I appreciate that, but I do have a hard time keeping track of where some of these new contacts come from.
Right.
But I just appreciate that, you know, we got the opportunity to meet because we've had, I'd say, a stronger friendship than,
mm-hmm,
than business relationship,
yes,
over the years.
Yes.
Well, obviously, you've been putting, you know, 10 years of networking in and multi-chamber events have 400 people that are attending. But I know you're very active in networking now and part of a lot mm-hmm. of different organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do you do to stay in front of or nurture your network?
Well, part of what I do is I follow people on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And I just follow what they're doing. The other piece of that is I really try to be a connector. So if I think of, oh, this person needs this, I know somebody who does that.
Sure.
I have to admit I'm not as good as I could be,
because
one of my goals is to try and be in contact, you know, maybe quarterly mm-hmm. with everyone. And it's sometimes funny how fast time goes.
Yep.
So that is something, especially since we were talking about this, it made me really rethink how important that is.
Yep.
And so one of the things I am doing now is going to be doing that.
Well, good.
And put it on my calendar so I make sure that I do it.
Yes. And that is a really powerful statement,
mm-hmm.
is it has to get on your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just sitting in the back of your mind.
Yes.
I just redid my calendar and literally put blocks that say networking time. And yes. that's not going to an event. That's calling someone that I already know that I've met with and saying, hey, how's it going?
Yes. Yes. And actually what I do, because I have attended. So the other thing I do is put it on there with their name
yep.
and their phone number. And either where I met them or something about them so I can remember.
Sure.
But put it on there for a couple. And then I don't have to remember.
Yes.
Because it's already there. Right. And that's, I need, these days, I need a little more help with remembering.
Okay.
Right?
Sure. So, There's a lot of moving parts.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Good. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
I would say the biggest thing is to focus outward. What do I mean by that? I mean, instead of thinking, for one thing, you're not selling at a networking event.
Correct.
You're not selling, you're meeting people.
Yep.
And focusing outward and, you know, how can I be of service to this person? One of the mistakes I made early on was focusing on me and what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the hardest lessons I learned, I think, was to start focusing outward.
Okay.
How can I help this person?
Sure.
How can I be of service to this person?
Yep.
So that was a big lesson I learned. And that was, if you could avoid that, the painful early years, when you're first starting out networking, I would try and do that, because it is, and it's embarrassing, especially when you see it reflected back at you
yep.
years later.
Yep.
All of a sudden, you're like, oh, that's what that looked like.
It was a lesson that you
yes.
learned.
Yes. Yes.
And what's interesting, and this is very important, is that focusing outward on how can I help you, but not turning it into a sales pitch. When
right.
someone is seeking what you offer, you still want to be a valuable resource
yes.
and not say, well, you can hire me to do that for you right away, because
yes.
then you've lost all credibility.
Yes, and you're absolutely right.
It is a hard practice to learn, but I think what's important is that word practice, and that the more you do it, the better you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm. I would also say, you know, make sure that you have some kind of goals when you go.
Yes, absolutely.
Have some goals when you go. So in my case, I would say I would like to meet three business owners or strategic partners at a networking event, as an example. And if once you have goals, then you can be laser focused on finding people
yep.
who match that target.
Yep.
And it's really just about meeting them.
Yep. Well, and you can even go further. And some events, I know, publish the list of attendees.
Yes.
So you can say, these are the three people that I actually want to have FaceTime with.
Yes. So doing a little research ahead of time is really helpful.
Yes.
Because then you don't just go and flounder.
Yep. Just like anything you do in life, if
mm-hmm.
you plan ahead, you're going to actually have better results at the end of the
yes.
day, right?
Yes. A constant struggle.
All right. So you talk a lot about attending events, which mm-hmm. I like to refer to as the traditional networking
mm-hmm.
Activities. You mentioned following individuals on LinkedIn, which mm-hmm. I would bucket in that digital space.
Mm-hmm.
Between digital and traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Actually, I find value in a combination of both.
Okay.
I think it's really important to meet people face to face, so they can get to know you, so they can get an opportunity to talk with you. The digital space just reinforces also what they do, what their interests are, and things. So you can learn a lot about someone in the digital. So if you combine it with the digital, you can learn a lot about someone.
Uh-huh.
And therefore, you become much more valuable resource to them the more you know.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. There's definitely a balance between the two.
Yes.
And it's interesting. Most of my guests say that exact same thing, that it's a combination of the two,
mm-hmm.
but they all have different reasons as to why. And that's the part I find fascinating
yeah.
in how people answer this question.
Yeah. And I would also say, for the person who's shy, You know, if you getting out of your comfort zone and not sticking solely with digital, because it's easy to do, because if you're shy and it's hard for you to meet people, I would say challenge yourself to get out and meet people.
Yeah.
For those people who are just about meeting lots of people, I would suggest adding a little bit of digital so that you can learn a little bit more about them and be a lot more prepared.
Oh, that's really good advice to share, to encourage the introvert versus the extrovert to kind of cross-pollinate there a little bit, right?
Yes, yes. Get out of your comfort zone.
All right. All right, a fun question that I love asking is, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Yeah, that was a very interesting question to me because it's I have some experience between 20 and now. A lot to go on. But one of the things that I wish I would have done more of is ask for more help. So ask for more help versus thinking I could do it all myself.
Yep.
Ask for more help. And I wish I would have started networking way younger. I think about it and I go, what would it be like if I started networking at 20 now? I mean, that's a lot of experience, a lot of people to meet. And yep. I didn't do that at the time, and I didn't even know to do that at the time. But I would have asked for more help. I would have gotten a mentor. I would have, I think about it now, and I was very uncomfortable to ask somebody who was a couple levels ahead of me or things like that, because they don't have time for me. Uh-huh. It was all that self-talk.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? People love to be of help to people.
They do.
And so I wish I would have asked for a mentor.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I get some of that now.
Sure, absolutely.
But it would have been way beneficial when I was 20. So uh-huh. I would ask for, get a mentor. And spending a little more time learning the art of networking, because networking is really an art, because it's not just meeting people. It's not like being at a party, although you can network at a party.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But it's having really understanding what I want to get out of networking, just in, not just wandering around meeting people, but what could I do differently? What could I learn from that person? Things like that. So there's a real art to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I would have started learning that art a little bit earlier.
So this is in very much a peeling the onion question. Because
yes.
I'm always phrasing things in, you know, the art of or the science of or the combination of art and science. Mm-hmm. And I'm very intrigued that you chose the word art of networking as opposed to the science of networking. So like, can we dive into that a little bit?
Sure. Probably, it's probably because of my liberal arts background.
Okay.
I don't know enough about science to talk about it scientifically. So that's one reason I use the art.
Okay.
But it's just like anything else. It needs to be practiced.
Mm-hmm.
If you're learning how to play the piano, or you're learning how to draw, or you're learning how to act, those are all the arts. And it needs to be practiced and honed and learned and studied.
Yes.
And
yes. Okay, I can see that.
The art of networking is all about dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding people, asking good questions about people.
And we're not robots.
And okay. It's all about the humanness.
Yes. Okay. Right? So the emotional connection.
Yes. Yes.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
And I don't know enough about science to.
Like I said, I was just really intrigued by this because I was thinking it's more of a science, looking at it from an analytical perspective. Mm-hmm. But I'm a very middle-brained individual, so I weigh both options.
Yes.
So just your phrasing really kind of piqued my interest a bit.
Excellent.
So thanks for diving into that.
Sure.
All right, Jackie, we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Who would be the one person that you want to connect with, mm-hmm. and do you think you can do it within the 6th degree?
I have always wanted to be on Oprah's show.
Okay.
I always thought, oh, I'm going to write a book and I can be on her show. And then she stopped having her show, but I would still like to meet her.
Okay.
And I would still love to write a book and be on something with her. So I always thought that's one of my bucket list things. But if you ask me, how would I start the journey? I would start it in two ways. One, I would ask everybody I know, okay. Do you know, because she's, yeah. We're here in Milwaukee. She did her show in Chicago for years and years and years and years yep. and years. It's not that far. And so who do I know that may have worked for her, worked with her, knew her when she was in Ohio, anything like that.
Yep.
So that ask everybody I know, do you know anybody who either knows her or worked for her or knows somebody who knows her?
Yep.
Starting there. Because I've seen that work and that was fascinating. I know somebody who wanted to be on The Prophet and at the show on CNBC with Marcus Lemonis. Uh-huh. And she never got on The Prophet yet, but I know her goal was to meet him. And so she knew someone who knew him. And so nice. It was, she did was ask.
Yep. That's like you said, just ask.
Everybody you know. Yep. And then I would say the next thing I would do is probably look on LinkedIn and see who may have worked at her studio, may have worked near her, anything like that, and see if anybody I know knew them.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure anybody I know knows her directly, but I know people know people who know her.
Okay.
So yes, I think I can do it in six.
I believe you can. So when are you going to start this
journey? That is exactly, well.
You knew I was going to ask
that. I knew it. Everybody loves to try that. Yes, and that it wasn't until you asked me this question that I realized I could start doing that right now.
Yeah, why not?
Yes, and then I got to get on that book too.
All right.
Start writing that book.
Yes, I've got a book in me somewhere.
Yes.
I don't know when I'll have the time to get it done, but it's definitely waiting. Speaking of books.
Yes.
What book are you reading right now?
Actually, that's funny you should ask because I'm reading Networking Like a Pro.
Ah, great.
By Ivan Meisner.
Okay.
So that's really funny that you asked me that. It's actually in my purse.
Cool.
Yep.
Networking Like a Pro. Mm-hmm. Any great takeaways to share with us so far?
Yes, actually one. He has a scorecard.
Oh, interesting.
In the book, and it's about, you know, how many thank you notes are you sending out? How many things people are you reaching out to? So I just realized that saw it today, as a matter of fact, and I thought that was a really good thing that I am thinking about implementing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, measuring your mm-hmm. KPIs, just as you were talking about earlier, right?
Right, because one of the things that occurred to me was people like to get snail mail.
Yep.
Because we don't get it very often anymore.
Yes.
And so when was the last time I wrote a thank you note to someone?
Tisk.
I know, right? So that was exact. So it was a good thing I'm reading it. It wasn't all that long ago, but it's not enough.
Okay.
So those are some of the things that I think I'm going to put into play.
Yeah, it's a very smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jackie, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I think I two pieces of advice. One I alluded to earlier is to how can you be of service? How could you help someone else? How can you focus outwardly? And the other one would be curious. Be curious about other people. Be curious about their story because everybody's got a story and just being curious about what their journey has been about is, I think, will make it more fun for you.
Yeah.
And more fun for people is just being curious.
There's a theme here today. Fun.
Yes, fun.
There's a great word that we've heard numerous times. But networking should be fun,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It should not be scary. And I think having a genuine conversation about the story or the journey that mm-hmm. someone's had can be really fun.
Right. And one of the things that I realized not very long ago was sometimes I go, oh, I don't feel like going to that networking thing or I don't want to. But I know that I go.
Yep.
But when I always realize on the way home how energized I am.
Yep.
And that I have to remember that when I'm on my way there.
Yes.
Is that it? When I'm on my way home, I'm like, that was kind of fun. And that was really fun. I met this person and that. So it really is energizing. And just remembering that when it's hard to get yourself to go.
Yep. Yeah, it is energizing. And while you're surrounding yourself with other people that have that energy and enthusiasm, mm-hmm. which just elevates your energy at the same time.
Yes. Yes.
Jackie, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
The best way they could reach me is via email at jackiezack@actioncoach.com.
Great. And we will include that information in the show notes.
Excellent. Thank you.
Jackie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
I had a great time and thank you so much.
Great conversation. A lot of fun.
Yes.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Jackie Zack for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.